On a biting cold winter Sunday, he was born, January 27th, 1756. The next morning, the baby was wrapped in a thick wool blanket by loving parents and carried off to the nearby cathedral in the town of Salzburg. The church was large with vaulted ceilings that stretched seemingly to the sky, made from cold, hard stones. It was as cold inside the church as it was out, as they never bothered to heat the churches. The christening party, blowing on cold fingers, brought the baby to the town chaplain to be christened or baptized. There at the left-hand corner of the nave, the child was sprinkled with cold holy water and named Johannus Chrysostomus Wolfgangus Theophilus Sigismundus Mozart. What a handle, huh? It does seem like a lot of names, but it was the custom in those days to name your child after several saints, hoping that heaven would be so flattered that it would protect and bless the new baby with good fortune and life. And a baby needed good fortune in those days to survive, for most children died within 1 or 2 years after they were born. Mozart's mother gave birth to 7 children, of which only 2 lived, Mozart, the youngest, and an older sister. Shortly after Mozart was born, the parents changed the Latin name, Theophilus, to its German equivalent, Gottlieb, which means lover of God. When Mozart grew older, he changed it again to the Italian equivalent, Amadeus. So finally, we have the name Mozart went by, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Wolfgang. Who would name their child Wolfgang? To us in English-speaking countries, Wolfgang is a pretty different name. But in Germany, it isn't that uncommon at all. Why, they may laugh at some of our names and say, who would name their child Henry or Brad or Fred? But here we have Wolfgang. They called him Wolf for short. It brings to mind an old horror picture like Frankenstein, with a mad scientist amidst bubbling chemicals in the dark castle laboratory. Wolfgang, the scientist yells for his monster creation. He comes. Wolfgang! Yes, master! Wolfgang, go get my slippers! Yes, master! Roar! Wolfgang, go bite the tree! Yes! Wolfgang, go beat down the castle door! Yes, master! However monster-like the name may seem to some, Mozart was anything but a monster. Frail and small, Mozart grew to be a man that many thought was rather homely. He had a yellowish complexion that was pitted from smallpox. His head was too big for his small body. He was short, had a thick head of hair, and plump hands. But when it came to music, he had no equal. He was the best pianist, the best organist and conductor in Europe, the best composer in all musical forms, opera, symphony, piano, choral, vocal, chamber, concerto, string quartet, everything. Do you like to party? Are you a party animal? I am, and Wolfgang loved to party too. He loved to travel and have fun, and he loved to write letters to his family and friends. Because the Mozart family wrote a lot of letters to each other on their travels, we probably know more about the Mozarts than any other composer or his family up to that time. Wolfgang's father was a musician of small fame. He lived and worked at the Archbishop's palace, writing and playing music. He wrote a book on playing the violin that is still read today. Because he was a musician himself, he began teaching his only daughter, who was Wolf's older sister, how to play the clavier. The clavier was like a very small, soft-sounding piano. As Nannerl, Mozart's sister, would practice and have her lessons with Papa, 2- and 3-year-old Wolf would listen intently, reaching up to the keyboard after Nannerl's lesson was over to try and pick out the tunes that Nannerl was practicing. When Wolf was 4 years old, Papa Mozart thought it would be fun to give lessons to his son. It wasn't long before Papa Mozart realized that their son was an unusual talent. Wolfgang never had to be told anything twice when it came to music, and when his father told him how to play, it would seem like Wolfgang already knew it before he was taught. After Wolf's clavier lessons were finished, and Papa would tell him to run off and play, Wolf would stay at the clavier and beg for duets. Before bedtime, Wolf would lead the family in marches around the house. These were happy times in the house of Leopold Mozart. Do you know any 4-year-olds that can read and write? There are some who can. But do you know any 4-year-olds that can write music so difficult that even they cannot play it? Music so difficult that no one else at that time could play it either? Could you write or compose music at the age of 4 and write it down? Not too many of us can. Listen to this story. Because Wolfgang's father, Leopold, was a musician, there were lots of musicians who would come to visit and make music in the Mozart home. One Thursday after work, Leopold brought a trumpet player named Schachner home with him. When they got upstairs, they found 4-year-old Wolf sitting at the desk with paper, pen and ink, writing furiously. "What are you doing, Wolf?" Papa asked. "I am writing a concerto," said the ink-smeared boy. No doubt the two older musicians smiled at each other and thought, "Oh, yes, yes, he's writing a concerto. Sure, he's just scribbling away. How sweet." But smiles turned to tears as the older Mozart picked up the paper and saw that the boy was not telling stories. He really had written music. He said to his friend, "This child has not only written a concerto, he has written one so hard that no one could possibly play it." Wolfgang grabbed the paper and ran to the clavier to play a few notes from it, but his hands were too small to play what he had written. As he played, he said that he made it difficult on purpose so that people would have to practice hard to play it. The following year, Papa Mozart brought home more of his musician friends. Papa Mozart was a very good violinist. He had brought home 2 other musicians to play some music with him for fun. When Wolf saw that music was going to be made, he quickly ran to get his own small violin and stood next to his father ready to play. "What are you doing, Wolfie?" his father asked. "I'm going to play with you." "But you have never had a violin lesson. We want to practice. Go away." Tears fell from the boy's face. He was hurt. One of the other string players said to Leopold, "Oh, let him stay and play next to me. He'll play softly so no one will hear." Leopold gave in with a warning to Wolf that if he played too loudly, he would be sent away at once. A chair was obtained for Wolf to sit next to the second violin player. The musicians began playing one trio after another until 6 in a row were played. A few minutes after they started the first one, the second violinist put down his violin and listened. Papa continued playing, but his eyes, no doubt, filled with tears. This tiny 5-year-old, who had never had a violin lesson, was playing the second violin part perfectly. Been other child prodigies before and after Mozart who have showed unusual ability to play and perform at a very early age. The thing that distinguishes Wolfgang from the others was his ability to create, his ability to compose music. Listen to one of Wolfgang's first compositions for the clavier. Perhaps you have studied this little piece yourself. He wrote it when he was 5 years old. It's just a little tiny minuet, but it's really quite creative in its concept. Let's look at this little miniature piece a little closer. First, Mozart starts with a motive. He repeats that motive 3 times on different levels. Then he turns it upside down and moves the motive up 3 times to finish the first section. All Almost as if he is writing a tiny sonata allegro form, Mozart now takes the motive and develops it by playing it in different keys. Coming to the recapitulation, the little five-year-old now repeats the beginning few bars to end the piece with a little surprise thrown in. Now let's listen again to the entire piece. See if you can hear all the things we talked about, starting with a small motif, turning it upside down, playing it in different keys, and then recapitulating by playing it two times to end it. No composer is completely original. In other words, every great composer has had to study very hard the works of other composers to gain ideas on how to write good music. If you want to be a good composer, you will want to do the same. Mozart's father picked out the best composers of the day for Mozart to study, particularly C.P.E. Bach and George Frederick Handel. Handel died when Mozart was 3 years old. By this time, Johann Sebastian Bach was virtually forgotten. He died 6 years before Wolfgang was born. It was not until his later years that a man named Baron von Swieten introduced Mozart to Bach. Mozart devoured the works of Bach and studied them carefully. It had quite an effect on his later music. At age 5, 1 year after Wolf began lessons, his father thought it was time to share the boy's talents with the rest of Europe. One day, he announced to his family that they were going on a concert tour to play for kings, queens, princesses, princes, dukes and earls, rich and more rich people. Yes, Leopold saw in his little boy a way to make a fast buck and begin his son's career. Mother began making clothes for Wolfgang and Nannerl, who was also a very good musician. Papa began making arrangements for a coach, letters of introduction, and time off work. In the dead of winter, Leopold, Nannerl, and Wolfgang climbed in the carriage and was pulled to Munich by 16 strong horses to begin his first concert tour. Leopold was not only a good father, he was a first-rate businessman as well. As soon as he got to Munich, he began publishing the news of his wonder children. Before long, they began to be invited by the best houses to play. The travels continued. Little Wolfgang was too young to realize the games older people play, and so when the big day arrived to visit the Empress Maria Theresa, instead of bowing, he jumped on her lap, threw his arms around her neck, and gave her a big fat kiss. The Empress, having had 16 children of her own, was able to appreciate the spontaneity of the gifted boy. The Emperor and the Empress were so taken with the Mozart children that they kept inviting them over to play music and play with their children for 4 weeks. One time, while playing with two of the princesses, Wolfgang slipped and fell on the polished floor. Marie Antoinette picked him up and comforted him. Wolfgang looked into her eyes and said, "You are so kind. When I grow up, I will marry you." But of course, that could never occur. It is difficult for us to understand the class system in Europe at the time, but the royal families of Europe thought they were related to God and therefore too good to marry anyone not of royal blood. This was called the divine right of kings. This attitude really irked Beethoven. He refused to bow or pay any more respect to royalty than anyone else. When the Mozarts were in Paris, the king and queen invited them to dinner. This was a great honor to the Mozarts, but we would be offended today. For the custom was that when the Mozarts were invited to dinner, it meant that they were merely able to stand, not sit, but stand at the table and watch the royal family eat. That's what our dogs do nowadays. Mozart went on several concert tours with his father and sister. Wolfen and Erl would play duets and perform separately. They would also accompany for each other as each took turns playing the violin. They would also perform tricks like covering Wolfgang's hands while he played, or having him walk away from the keyboard while others would play notes and have them guess what they were. But Mozart didn't have to guess. He knew exactly what they were, even though he couldn't see what note was being played on the keyboard. This last trick is an ability that about 1 in 1,000 are born with. It is called perfect pitch, or pitch recognition. People have it in varying degrees. A person has perfect pitch when they hear a note or group of notes and can tell you exactly what it is. For example, can you tell me what this note is? That was a C. If your tape recorder is the same speed as mine, now try this one. That's an A. See if you can tell me what this one is. That is an F sharp. If you could hear what those notes are, you probably have perfect pitch. It is this ability that enabled Mozart to compose so well away from the piano, and Beethoven to continue to compose even after he went deaf. Everywhere young Wolfgang went, he created a sensation. In England, Leopold had made such a fuss in advertising his boy wonder that Wolfgang was studied by a scientist to see if Wolfgang was as amazing as everyone said. First, the scientist wrote to the parish church in Salzburg to make sure that no lies were being told about the boy's age. Then the scientist, named Barrington, went to pay a personal visit to subject Mozart to a number of difficult musical tests. Barrington, however, was finally convinced of Mozart's age when Wolf's favorite cat walked by while he was playing at the harpsichord. Wolf immediately jumped off and went chasing after the cat. Barrington couldn't get Wolf back to the harpsichord for some time. He then knew that he was a real little boy. Some, like Barrington, thought Wolfgang to be a midget, you see. Others thought his father made up his compositions for him. But Barrington finally wrote a paper to his scientific society that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was indeed a boy genius. Finally, after 3.5 years of traveling around Europe, the Mozarts came back home to their cat, canary, and mother. Leopold was a little concerned, wondering if he still had a job after being away for so much longer than he had asked his boss to go. No sooner had Leopold received his old job back than he was already plotting the next stage of Wolfgang's life. A couple of years' hard study, and then a trip to Italy. Leopold wanted to bring fame to himself and his son, but they were traveling to Italy for more than fame and money. At that time, the country was the center of the musical world. In Mozart's later years, it would shift to Vienna. But nobody could receive any recognition as a true musician without some training in Italy. The Italian style of writing, particularly Italian opera, was popular all over the world. Since there were no records or tape players, the best way for Mozart to get Italian training was to go to Italy. He was barely 14 when they left. This time, only Papa and Wolfgang went. Wolfgang was changing from a little boy to a fast-growing teenager. His father complained home in a letter that everything is too small for him. All his arms and legs have grown bigger and stronger. He has lost his singing voice, and he can no longer sing high or low, and only has 5 pure tones that he can sing. In spite of his changing voice, he still played the harpsichord beautifully, and everyone wanted to hear him play. But Mozart and his father wanted to do more than perform. They wanted to try Wolfgang's hand at writing opera. And the operas in Italy were popular and lavish. One opera, for example, had 400 people in it and 80 horses on stage. Think of the stage at your school or in your community. Can you imagine how large it would have to be to hold 400 people and 80 horses? What a mess! 1 year after coming to Italy, and after much study of the art of Italian writing, Wolfgang was given a chance to write his first real opera. When other musicians heard that Mozart was writing an opera, Mozart had one of his first tastes of jealous musicians who tried to discredit him and keep his opera from being performed. Mozart was no longer a little boy. Other composers saw him as a threat to their own jobs. The Italians refused to believe that a German boy could write an Italian opera, no matter what he might write for the Germans. The singers and composers got together and tried to bribe the leading soprano into substituting other songs for the ones that Mozart had written and to destroying his opera. The soprano refused. Finally, the day that the opera was to begin arrived. The opera turned out to be a smashing success, with people interrupting the performance with hand clapping and shouts of, "Long live the composer! Long live the composer!" Wolfgang and Leopold weren't always hard at work. They did a lot of sightseeing in Italy as well. One of the sights they really wanted to see was the Vatican in Rome. There was a piece of music performed in the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican that was so beautiful, everyone wanted to have a copy to perform it. Not wanting to lose the attention that this beautiful piece of music brought to the chapel, the musicians were forbidden under pain of excommunication from the church to take any of the music out of the church. They didn't want anyone to copy it. Wolfgang and Leopold went to hear the music on a Wednesday afternoon. Instead of looking at the beautiful paintings done by Michelangelo on the ceilings of the Sistine Chapel, Mozart sat in silent concentration, listening carefully to every note that was performed by the choir. On its completion, Wolfgang and Leopold hurried home, whereupon Wolf grabbed some paper and a pen and wrote out the entire piece of music that he had heard only once. Soon, word got out that young Mozart had the music. Instead of being excommunicated, though, the Italians were so amazed that he was invited to a big party and commanded to bring the music along. At the party, one of the chapel singers confirmed its correctness. To give you an idea of what an amazing feat of musicianship and memory this was, imagine yourself sitting in the middle of a room with eight people sitting around you reading from a different book out loud. At the end of 10 minutes, you were handed a stack of blank paper and a pen and told to write down everything that each of the eight people had read. That kind of gives you an idea of what an amazing feat Mozart did in writing out the Miserere after hearing it only once in the Sistine Chapel. After the successful Italian tour, the father and son returned home to settle down for several years. Wolfgang received a small appointment from the court of Sigismund. At this point, I must remind you how composers lived and worked in those days. There were no stereos in the 1700s. There were no TVs, VCRs, or tape recorders. If a person wanted to hear music, he had to make it himself or go to the concert hall, which concerts were not frequent. Or if you were wealthy, you could afford to have your own orchestra, singers, and composers. In modern times, it is a big status symbol and ego trip for wealthy men to own their own baseball club or football team. In those days, it was the big thing to own your own orchestra, choir, and composer. Many of the kings and princes would spend a lot of money trying to lure the very best musicians and composers, just like men today spend a lot of money trying to lure the best baseball or basketball or football players. At this time, many of the church officials were wealthier than the kings, so even the cardinals and archbishops got into the competition for the best orchestra and composer. At the time of Mozart, many thought Haydn was the greatest composer. He was the hot player that everyone wanted. Mozart's father, and now Mozart himself, worked for the archbishop. But Mozart was a teenager, and the archbishop treated him like he was a servant. And he was a servant. The composers ate with the servants, they went in the same back doors as the servants did, and were paid like servants. But Wolfgang had a hard time with this. He wasn't used to being treated as an ordinary individual. He had played for kings and queens. He had played with princes and princesses. He had received the acclaim of the world. Now he found himself in a small little town, Salzburg, which translated from the German means salt town. It was a small town filled with salt miners, men who earned their living working in the salt mines. That was how it got its name, Salt Town. Salzburg did not appreciate Wolfgang's music. There was a constant friction between he and the archbishop. Frequently, Wolfgang and his father would sit across the table at home in planning sessions, trying to decide how to advance Wolf's career. One evening, when Wolf was 21 years old, they decided to go on another concert tour and try to find a better position for Wolf in the court of some rich and famous king. When the two of them approached the archbishop about the idea, what do you think the archbishop said? The archbishop said, "No way." Wolfgang was so mad, he resigned right then and there. Leopold was horrified that his son had done such a thing and was afraid that he might lose his job. The archbishop let the father retain his job, but young Wolfgang, like any late teenager in our time, wanted to get out of his home and stretch his wings. His father was reluctant to send Wolf off by himself to find a job. He'd been very protective of the boy. Since he couldn't go, he sent his wife to be with Wolf. Wolfgang was a little irritated. He didn't want his mother along. He was 21 years old, and this was his first time away from home. He was planning on having some fun, but his father prevailed. It looked as though his father was right, though. For the first town that Wolf and his mother came to, Wolf fell in love with a beautiful girl and opera singer. He was ready to give up his career and follow her to the ends of the earth. He wrote home to tell his father that he was ready to get married. Father ordered him to leave immediately and go to Paris to find work before he even thought of marriage. Wolf reluctantly and obediently obeyed. He told his girlfriend to wait for him till he got back from Paris. Things did not go well for Wolf in Paris. He was now a young man and didn't attract the attention as he had as a little boy. His father had always taken care of him, and so Mozart had not developed the business sense his father had. After trying hard to secure an appointment in Paris, his mother grew sick and died. Depressed, Mozart headed for home. On the way home, though, he stopped in the town where his girlfriend promised to wait for him. He might have lost his mother, but he thought he would at least be comforted in the arms of his girlfriend, get married, and live happily ever after. However, while he was gone to Paris, his girlfriend had found another boy that she had gotten married to. This was a second crushing blow. The third came when he returned to Salzburg, having lost his mother, lost his girlfriend, and begging to the archbishop for another job. Things did not go well at the palace of the archbishop. Finally, Mozart left for Vienna to look for his fame and wealth. Vienna was to be Mozart's home for the rest of his life. In Vienna, Mozart was happily married. It was in marriage that his music matured and he wrote his greatest compositions. Above all other things, Mozart wanted to write opera. However, the opera composers were so afraid of Mozart because of his superior talent, they plotted against him and did everything they could to keep his operas from being performed. Mozart was a horrible money manager. It just slipped right through his fingers, and he was very extravagant. His wife was not much better. They loved to dance and party. Money slipped through his fingers. He worked very hard to gain an appointment with the emperor, and finally obtained one, but the pay was very low. However, even though jealous composers would try and keep his work from being performed, the people began to beg for his music. Finally, in the 36th year of his life, money began to pour in. His compositions were more beautiful and well-crafted than ever. His fame began to spread, and requests came in for music. One evening, a man in a mask knocked at his door. Now, one of Mozart's favorite kinds of parties was a masked party where everyone came dressed in elaborate costumes. But this man, dressed in a costume, did not invite Mozart to a party. He gave Mozart some money and asked him to write a requiem. A requiem is a mass of the dead. It was usually sung at a funeral. Mozart agreed to write the requiem. As he began to write it, he began to feel a sense of urgency, for he sensed that this requiem was to be his own. Weak from poverty and a lack of food, Mozart began his requiem. Mozart became obsessed with this unknown masked man for whom the requiem was requested. A friend urged him to relax and to come to London where people would appreciate his talent. Mozart refused and wrote, I wish I could follow your advice, but how can I do so? I cannot get rid of this vision of the unknown man. I see him constantly. He entreats me, begs me, and impatiently demands the work of this requiem. Here is my death song. I must not leave it uncomplete. To Constanza, his wife, he confided that he believed he was being poisoned by Salieri. Salieri was the head composer for the emperor. Salieri is the composer who organized other composers in Vienna to keep Mozart's works from being performed. They were jealous of the genius of Mozart. When Salieri heard that people were saying that he had poisoned Mozart, he went to every length to try and show friendship to Mozart. But it was too late. Mozart never finished his requiem. Shortly after midnight on December 5th, 1791, Mozart died.